The Ticket. It's time for The Kick Around, The Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is The Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, two guys who always have their transfer windows open. Here's Andy Swift and Peter Welton.
Still with Brentford. And the chance of the goal!
Hi-de-ho, P1s, and welcome to The Kick Around. Today we start Season 8 of our Saturday 2-4 excursion here on Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket, where you, the good P1, sits around, talks soccer, and all that implies. For those unfamiliar or new around here, my name is Peter. Hi, how you doing? And with me is my forever soccer-talking BFF. And word on the street is that all of his underwear have a liver bird on them. The amazing Andy Swift.
What a great opening day for Season 8 of the Kick Around's EPL coverage.
Everybody on the show. Wait, I'm sorry, not everybody on the show.
75% of the show.
Almost everybody on the show is plenty happy. Yes, here we are. By the way, let's just take a brief second to soak all this in. This is the beginning of our eighth season of doing the Kick Around. Is that, like, I had this epiphany today when I was, wait a second. We started doing the 2014-15 season and started counting. Eight seasons on the Ticket. That's amazing.
You know what would be great?
High five, Andy.
Yeah, high five. Hey, you know what would be great is if we did a tally of how many EPL crowns each team has in these 8 years obtained. So Chelsea has a couple.
This? Why are you ruining the vibe?
Chelsea has a couple.
He's been like this afternoon.
Because it'd be interesting to see who's won what.
Well, why don't you just sit over in the corner and do that math by yourself?
While the rest of us talk soccer.
Jerk face.
Oh, man. Come on.
Man, we do have a lot to do today. It is almost all of the leagues started yesterday, and we're going to talk about the fabulous scenes at Brentford's new stadium outside of London.
I have automatically a second favorite team now. There's no doubt. Yeah, Leeds.
We'll talk about them here in a little bit. We'll talk about the results today. We'll talk a little bit of the weird resurgence of FC Dallas. Here a little bit later in the show. Lars will be joining us. Lars Siverston will be joining us to talk about Premier League action today. And, of course, we'll have America's favorite soccer segment, The Dribble. Now, Wednesday night, we did the Premier League preview show, or just our new season preview show. And we opened that in an entire conversation, a whole segment dedicated to Messi's departure from Barcelona and PSG. Which, by the way, they started off today. And when Messi walked out, the place went absolutely ape poop.
Yeah, didn't dress, but he was there.
So he was there. I don't know how long it's going to be before he actually starts playing for them. So if you want to hear kind of the totality of our thoughts about the Messi thing, go download or subscribe to the podcast. By the way, over on our new website, thekickaround.com. Which you can find all the old shows, and you can also spin the Wheel of Allegiance if you're looking for a club. We've got that there at the bottom of the page.
I am looking for a club.
We need to do that. We need to spin the Serie A wheel for you, don't we? Mm-hmm. So just, you know, Messi is gone. He's there. And I think we're mostly all largely bored by that entire thing now, aren't we, Andy?
It was a little bit yesterday's news, but it'll be interesting to see what comes out of all that.
Now, the other thing that we should talk about, because this is the other thing that we did in the preview show that applies here, is our annual predictions of the Premier League. And aforementioned Brentford-Arsenal game has already rendered me an idiot, as I had Brentford at the bottom of the table in my predictions.
Yeah, and the loser of that game, Arsenal, I had fifth. So, also an idiot.
I have a feeling I look like more of the idiot than you.
Because you picked Brentford.
I had them at the bottom of the table.
Plus, we don't want Brentford to get relegated. And we'll talk more about Brentford here in a little bit. But for the most part, though, your predictions and mine, like last year's. Remember last year, our top four were exactly the same.
Yeah, this is a continued set of disappointments.
And we
for
did
me.
The same thing this year.
We
and
need conflict.
And we both picked, and Sam did as well, Chelsea to...
Yeah, Lars was the only dissenter. He still has City as yeah. winning this.
And we had City second. He had City first and Chelsea second.
Yeah, you and I had we had Chelsea, City, Man United, Liverpool in our top four. I think where we start to fall apart is after that.
And for you, there's a clear first four, and that's everybody kind of agrees on the top four. But then for you, there's a definite next four, whereas I think 5th through 12th is a little bit more of a gray area because I think any of those teams can kind of be interchanged.
Well, I don't know if we differentiate that greatly on it. I believe that if you look at the table, it breaks up into four tiers.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said five on the other
You side, did.
I rethought it. It's four.
I made right? you rethink it.
You did. It is four in my head, but I don't wholly disagree with you that you could take position five all the way down to position 9 or 10, and it becomes a roll of the dice, with the exception of a few things. One, Leeds I don't think falls into that second tier because I just feel like Leeds will have a little bit of a regression this year.
And do you feel, not just based on today's results,
No,
right?
This is what I just kind of, that's how that stuff goes.
It's teams the sophomore slump, yes.
Teams that get promoted and do very well tend to fall back. West Ham's problem in my head is that they've got to deal with playing in Europa League.
Yeah, and that's one thing I didn't think about because I did pick them to finish 7th, which is the highest.
Everton and Wolves, which I have in the third tier, are just a byproduct of the changes they're going through. Brighton is actually the team that's pushed up into that tier for me.
Yeah.
And I think today's result probably shows a little bit of that. That's a team that just needs to start scoring goals, and mm-hmm. I think that'll work out for them. Sorry, Josh. It's that bottom tier for me of made up of 7 teams, which is Norwich, Newcastle, Southampton, Watford, Burnley, Crystal Palace, and Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
That I think my big prediction this year mm-hmm. is that will come down to a relegation battle, 7 teams, and I think it'll be 8 points between the 7 teams, and a tiebreaker, at least one, will help define who gets relegated and who doesn't.
I don't disagree with you, and I have it broken down in 3 tiers. The top 4, then that 5th through about 11 or 12, I take it a little bit longer, and then those bottom, I don't know, 7 teams
right.
that I think are really all have a legit chance to get relegated. Now, you picked Brentford. That was your team that got promoted that you picked to go back down. I picked Watford like Lars and like Sam. Those are the teams that we picked that would get promoted and then get relegated right away. Although Lars picked the 3 that came up, 3 to go down. That was his pick. Now, your way out prediction for relegation, it's not way out, and I don't count Palace in that because I think that's a very legit pick for Palace to get relegated.
It's just too much change.
Yeah. Burnley, I think, is the team that you picked that maybe is your far out pick to get.
And maybe
relegated.
Josh and I need to have a moment here together to mend the friendship, because when I saw him right off the bat, I got the death stare from him and I didn't know what it was all about. He had to remind me.
And then Sam, you picked Wolves. That's your, you know, Palace, yes, but Wolves to get relegated. Now that's a little bit out there, but I don't disagree that they're going to struggle this year. I don't think they'll struggle into relegation. And my out there pick was Newcastle, but is it that much out there that they could get relegated? I don't think so. They struggled at times last year before they put it together towards the end. So,
I think, you know, when you try to figure out picks for this stuff, you just have to you can always go with the obvious, the things mm-hmm. that seem to be more obvious.
But you,
you want to try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's very possible Burnley won't. Burnley to me just feels like Bournemouth of a couple of seasons ago, where they had one guy that was kind of the leader of the club in terms of a manager. They had stuck by him through thick and thin. It got him into the Premier League. They had stayed there longer than anybody ever expected. They always kind of middled somewhere. They maybe had one really successful season and then fell way back. And I just feel like this is Burnley's time for that kind of thing happen to them.
Grit and fight can only get you so far. Eventually, you're just going to.
Exactly. Yeah. So, by the way, I just want to pat myself. This is my own personal self act of kindness. I was brave enough to document all of my picks and put them on the social media.
1 through 20, yeah.
All of them. Yeah. That's right. Where are yours, Andy?
Well, I actually pick 1 through 11 and then the last three, but I didn't. I can certainly post them. I don't mind posting them.
You should be brave.
Yeah, sure.
Throw them out there. You should do all 20.
I'm trying to see. Well, anyway, I have the top 11. But my thing is, I don't have Spurs top 7. That's where I
I believe in Nuno more than you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about City Spurs, which is the very uncomfortable game to preview for tomorrow because of the whole Harry Kane situation and all of that.
Now, let's say they do get Kane, City does, and he leaves Spurs.
That changes everything.
You got him 5th. That's a
Spurs?
Yeah, that's a pretty ambitious pick.
Yeah, I was working under the premise that he's staying.
Then if he stays, that's a problem too. Then he's unhappy and grumble.
So Nuno seems like such a nice, swell fellow that he'll soothe the savage Harry of the Kane beast and make him want to stay and feel loved.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't feel good about Spurs, but also I have Arsenal finishing.
Here's the thing I wanted to talk about today. First off, I want to congratulate the Premier League because they didn't make a ton of changes to how they were making decisions on things like offside and handballs and fouls and things like that. But they did make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought those were reflected very well today.
The VAR-related changes?
Well, not just VAR, but like assistant referees being told to go ahead and raise the flag.
Hey,
look, it's our first VAR alarm of the new season. We should have given that a fresh coat of paint, too. Apparently it's stuck. Throughout all the games today, it was very clear to me that they were going to raise the flag for offside in a manner in which I am most accustomed to and feel like it's best used in the game, where they don't wait for the play to complete.
When it's clear and obvious, he should do it, right? And I think that's what they told me.
And I appreciate that. Now, the one rule change that I was somewhat mystified about, because I'm not sure this was really going to make anything better, was the thickening of the offside line. Have you seen this?
I
didn't actually see it used today anywhere.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen, but I know what you're talking about, is that hairline calls are not going to be part of the offside
but
call.
Aren't you going to end up with the same problem? Well, I don't understand how the thickness of the line makes it.
I think it's more of a clear and obvious offside now. I think they're trying to narrow what clear and obvious means.
Yeah.
Or widen, I guess.
Because in my head, no matter how thick the line is, it still depends on where they align it to the person's armpit.
But the line
armpit.
Is gray. The line is gray. The line, like, it's sometimes, you know, thicker than other times, depending on if it's clear and obvious.
So those are big things. I felt like the biggest change that we've noticed, and this goes back to yesterday's game at Brentford, it was absolutely an issue or a factor at the game at Old Trafford today, crowds being back.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
But before you go to that, in terms of rule changes and adjustments to refereeing and all that, it's the soft calls for PKs in the box. And now we've seen that. We saw it today a couple times, and I think that's a welcome.
That's a good – thank you for including that in there.
I think that's an important one too. But, yes, the crowd's back, and that's why yesterday's game was just amazing as well because, in front of – I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because I know we're going to talk about that game in depth. But it was – it really does bring a lot more energy to the game. I mean, you feel it.
Yeah.
The press, you even feel them, like the pressing is more on point now, which is weird because that's part of the energy that they're getting from
it. It is.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm most looking forward to here in the next few weeks is being able to compare and contrast how the production is handled between what NBC has been doing very, very well with the Premier League and how ESPN handles the Bundesliga, La Liga, and Paramount Plus handles Serie A and whatever else they've got, I forgot. Mm-hmm. And just the differences in the qualities of that, because NBC has, I don't know if I may be exaggerating, but I almost feel like they've perfected the coverage of this sport.
So this is what I'll say. They've really perfected the pageantry, pre-game pageantry, and the coverage of that. And the post-game emotion.
They
simply by just laying off the mic.
Yes. That whole bit that they do where the game is over and a guy on the field walks around with the camera and nobody says anything. They just play the crowd atmosphere noise and they just follow players or a coach around the field while they congratulate or pout or whatever they do. That is
that's strong and powerful.
It's
and you
so
feel like
good.
You're there. Yes, absolutely.
And last night at Brentford was probably the most extreme version of that.
Yes.
And this morning at Old Trafford
also
was a great example. It meant more.
Yeah, it meant more this week also, this opening day, because the crowds are back for the first time in a long time. So there's a little bit more of that. What I don't like about the NBC coverage is, you know, they do the token city that, you know, yesterday it was Brentford, Minnesota or something. Fans in that. And it kind of seems forced. And I don't like that.
Yeah,
you know,
on occasion, NBC Sports does try a little too hard. But Rebecca Lowe is so good at her job. I really like the two Robbies. That is my favorite studio group
yes,
of the three.
No doubt.
You know, Tim Howard got better as the season went on. The other guy, I forgot, what was that dude's? Higginbotham.
The host? He's actually
quite good, too. Yeah. But the two Robbies and Rebecca were fantastic.
They just know each other so well.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, Rebecca was quite good on Olympics coverage this year, too, I thought. She's good. So this is the last season right now. Tentatively, the Premier League TV deal in the United States is up for bids after this. One of the names that has been thrown out is talked about picking it up. Apple TV. Have you heard that? Yeah.
No.
Adding it is making it part of their streaming package. Yeah. Pretty weird. So anyway, there is kind of the recap of what we previewed on Wednesday night's preview show. But when we come back, we do need to spend some quality time reviewing the scenes in Brentford and have a talk about Arsenal next here on The Kick Around. Hi there, P1. While you're listening, you may be hearing us talk about a particular club in the Premier League or Serie A or the Bundesliga or anywhere else and thinking to yourself, man, I need a jersey for whatever club. Well, I've got a new place for you to consider, soccer90.com. It's a great website. They've got all kinds of stuff from clubs all over the world. And if you go on their site and you don't find it, you may want to just shoot them a note and ask. They'll work real hard to find it for you. Juve, Chelsea, Arsenal, Barcelona, Chivas, yep, probably even PSG Messi jerseys are somewhere on the way. You can find them all at soccer90.com. And if you use the code KICKAROUND at checkout, you get 25% off your purchase. So go check it out, soccer90.com. And if you want a special treat, go check out the actual physical brick-and-mortar store in person in Frisco, right next door to the Hall of Fame at Toyota Stadium.
Our good friend and noted European soccer journalist, Lars Sivertsen, will join us here in a few to get into the rest of the results of today's action in the Premier League and promote or preview tomorrow's big Spurs City Harry Kane battle.
Say that fast.
Don't forget, you can also spin the Wheel of Allegiance over on our new website, thekickaround.com. Just go to the bottom. We actually have three wheels to help you find a club. So that is the hardest thing to do, is figure out what club you want to follow. Man, the start of the Premier League season could not have gone better than it did yesterday. As Brentford hosted Arsenal. Man, what a great set. I mean, I didn't really have any idea what was going to happen yesterday. I mean, based on my predictions, I thought Arsenal was going to win that game. Although
you know what, though? Opening day, and even the first couple weeks until things get settled, anything can happen.
Well, what's weird, there's a little bit of oddity here, which is, you know, Brentford is one of the newly promoted clubs. Mm-hmm. They hadn't been in the top flight in 74 years. There's this little thing that sits outside of West London. There was a great article on one of the British websites or English websites that told the whole story about when these new owners came in several years ago. They actually disbanded Brentford's academy.
Uh-huh.
Because it just was not cost effective.
Right.
And they essentially just created like a U23 team to kind of help grow. And it's just been so fun. I mean, there is not an insignificant number of players that have come from Brentford and been sold off to other clubs. Ollie Watkins at Aston Villa, Mappe at Brighton, et cetera, that come from Brentford. And that's how they've really gotten here. So now they're back in the Premiership. And boy, howdy, was yesterday's game one for the ages.
And the other thing about this team, too, is that when you think of this team as being the Moneyball team and a team that depends on analytics, it's not how to line up on a corner kick and how to best take free kicks and those kind of analytics. It's really how to find diamonds in the rough. And they have been really successful at finding players in second, third divisions around Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They do well for the club, then they resell them. Obviously, now in the Premier League, it's going to take a different level player, right, to be successful and stay in the Premier League. But, man, it wasn't just like they squeaked out a win against Arsenal. They looked like a decent side.
Oh, they were clearly the better team.
Yeah.
I said this somewhere earlier today. I can't remember who I was saying this to. You know what yesterday felt like? It felt like a early FA Cup tie where the Minnow home team was playing a Premier League side, and they were all super overly excited and enthusiastic to win, and the big club just didn't take it very seriously.
Right.
Now, Arteta was missing all kinds of people, and that's going to be a running theme of today's show. Is it's one of the things that drives me nuts about not just the Premier League but other leagues, which is they start so early when everybody's still on holiday or just coming back from, you know, because they've been playing in international tournaments.
Right.
Or the transfer window isn't closed, so sales and transfers haven't been completed.
They gotta do their quarantine.
They gotta do quarantine in Lukaku's place. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons to get frustrated by it, but it is pretty maddening. And so Arsenal, when you look at who they had to roll out yesterday, I think if we learned anything about Arsenal yesterday, is Arteta is dealing with an insanely thin roster, and of any club, I mean, if you think about it, that shouldn't be Arsenal. Like, Arsenal's a big enough club that they should be able to handle missing two or three or four players and at least put something in their place that can help them beat the newly promoted Brentford.
Right, but the lack of depth, I guess, this is a problem that has been created by inadequate spending and inadequate signings going back years, right? I mean, this is how you build depth. Liverpool builds depth by getting players a little bit less expensive because they're younger. They bring them in, develop them.
Coach them up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And Arsenal just hasn't done that.
One of the things, and we'll have to do this segment somewhere when we've got more time, but when they were talking about Arsenal's purchase of Ben White for $70 million, just let that soak in for a second, it dawned on me this question. Is center back the money pit position of this sport? Meaning, have there been more money wasted on center backs in this sport than any other position? Because think about it. Think about how many center backs and how much money City, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, et cetera, have spent on big name center back signings. And the exception to the rule, really, in terms of success, Virgil van Dijk, you could argue that Maguire.
Yeah, Stones.
Yeah, but Stones was a huge failure for quite a bit of time until late last season.
Figured out the system and Pep a little bit.
I mean, we thought maybe we would never see Stones again until late.
I think the issue at center back, and we talked about this a little bit off air, but I think the issue with center back is you'd rather overspend at center back to get average at center back than underspend and get something inadequate or below standards, because you don't want that. Having a bad center back can be catastrophic, so you might overspend just to get average.
I agree, but I think when Liverpool goes out and spends a record amount on Virgil van Dijk, or United goes out and spends a record amount on Maguire, and everybody gives them a lot of crap for it, that's why they spend record amounts of money, because they've got to get somebody that works, because that position is just so critical.
Yeah, and the mistakes are more glaring. You know, like a right mid makes a mistake, it's not going to be as you know what I'm saying. And the thing, forwards, you overspend at the forward position as well. It's just that more click because you see the goals. And there's just as many forwards that bomb that teams overspend on. But I don't think it's as visually pronounced, because, you know, you tend to see the mistakes that center backs make.
All right. So for our Arsenal-loving P1s, I'm wondering if you feel like Arteta is going to make it through the season.
Well, I was thinking about this. I think he will make it through the season. Arsenal is not a team that will fire mid-season. But, if he doesn't, like, another eighth place finish, of course he's out. But it's like, where do they have to finish for him to not be moved along?
I wonder if it has more to do with just kind of the collective measurement of how the season went. Like, did he have to deal with a ton of injuries? If he had everybody and they end up in seventh or eighth, I think he's out. But if he has to deal with a lot of rebuilding obstacles.
I mean,
because Partey's already hurt. They're still trying to get Odegaard back from Real Madrid.
If they still have to deal with all that and injuries and they still finish eighth, he doesn't survive.
Yeah.
You can't, if you're one of the, quote, big six, those kind of excuses don't let you keep your job.
It's interesting to me is he's a byproduct of the Pep Guardiola school of management. And he may tactically be very similar that way, but he couldn't be more different from Pep on the field and just kind
of demeanor.
His demeanor. I mean, he's got those dead eyes and that weird Lego hair.
Does he get more of a pass because he's such a handsome fellow? Like,
I don't know.
But like
handsome seems a little. No. We'd have to ask the P1s. I think we've done this before.
We absolutely did because I said he was very handsome on a show.
I think we've done the poll before. Is Arteta handsome? And what was the result of that poll?
I think it was 64-36.
It was overwhelming,
yes.
That he was. Okay.
And I think that just, you know, that's human nature is you tend to give those people more of a chance because they're physically attractive, I guess. But if he.
I think we're learning something about Andy's hiring practices.
Yeah, no. I mean, no, it's human nature. And I think if he was not...
You call it human nature. I call it misogyny, yeah. Andy.
All right. Anyway, so I think because of that, but I think it's gonna his seat's going to get hot this year.
Yeah. What is the name of the Arlo White and then the two English guys, Lee...
Graham Lasso
is the Chelsea great. Who's the other guy? Lee, what's his last name?
Lee Dixon.
Isn't Lee Dixon an Arsenal great?
I'm pretty sure he is.
Because after the game last night, he was standing on the sideline when they were interviewing Thomas Frank, and he had revealed that he has season tickets at Brentford. In fact, he was even pointing to where his seat exists, and he was oddly celebrating the victory, and I'm thinking, aren't you a former
he
Arsenal?
Is.
He played 458 games at Arsenal
from
1988 to 2002.
He started at Burnley, by the way.
That was really weird to me.
Yeah. But he has season tickets to. Wouldn't you have season tickets? It's
yes, of course.
So hard not to like that club. By the way, Hey Jude being their song, and did you hear the pregame rendition?
That whole
was great.
Thing. I wish we could capture that whole the thing that NBC did after that last night, where they followed Frank around the field and they just let the crowd go bonkers.
By the
it was
way,
so good.
Another thing about this club, in the 30-odd players on the first team roster, 20 different countries. 20 different nationalities. And it's not just like England and Germany and Spain. You got Grenada, Ghana, Guinea, Norway, Turkey, Finland, Iceland, Nigeria, Ecuador. Make all that work.
Mark that, please. Thank
make
you.
All that work. And this guy's figured out a way to make it. That's hard.
Yeah. No, they were fantastic last night. Congratulations to Brentford. A huge win. It's such a good promotional moment for the league. It could not have started any better especially if you're just a neutral and wanting the league to be successful. It was great scenes down at Brentford last night at their brand new the stadium was done a little over a year ago. They just didn't get to use it. But, man, what a way for them to kick off kind of the debut of their new stadium, their first time in the Premier League or top flight in 74 years. When that dude scored that first goal.
Oh, unbelievable.
And we didn't even talk about Arsenal's marking on that. And then the second goal.
The throw-in
goal.
You know what happened, too? They did that midweek at training, and they're like, let's try that in the game.
He threw it just kind of across the face of the goal, and I know that the Arsenal keeper was trying to claim that he was being held, but he didn't even try to fight to get away from the mark.
He was held.
He didn't even try to. No. I mean, his arm was wrapped around, but he didn't make an attempt to even get away from that guy. He just watched the ball go across the goal.
Anyway, it was great. Are they the Ted Lasso team, Brentford?
They could be
the
Greyhounds.
Yeah.
The Brentford Bees. Yeah. All right, congratulations. For one short brief time, they were atop of the table. Congratulations to them. Don't worry, Arsenal. It'll get better from here. All right, when we come back, we'll get the great Lars Siverston on the phone, and we'll talk to him. And, hey, look who won today. next on the Kick Around. Well, look at us here. Welcome back to the Kick Around. It is the start of our eighth season of coverage here on the Little Ticket. And I think Andy and I are kind of proud of that. Congratulations, Andy.
High five.
High five to you and to the good soccer-loving P1s. Okay, big day. Now, we talked about Brentford and Arsenal yesterday and the amazing scenes and the bit of the upset that took place as the Bees beat the Gunners 2-0. And via the miracle of the internet that we've included now a video connection so that we can see him in his marvelous Viking beard, none other, live from London. It is the Lars Sivertsen here on the Ticket. Hey, Lars. I can't hear you. Check your wire. There you go.
Hi, guys.
Oh, there you are. Hello, Lars.
Yeah. No, it's really exciting to see you guys. This brings a whole new level to proceedings. And nice little chat on Brentford-Arsenal. I want to add, that was one of those games that was, it's a phrase I use sometimes, it was life-affirming. sadly, I wasn't there, but just seeing people in the stands again, seeing a full house in that new stadium of theirs, and that they're super excited to be in the division. And like you say, see them beat what looked like a slightly disjointed and uninterested Arsenal team, which was very strange. First game of the season, why are they like this? But yeah, that was tremendous.
Is it off on me to point out the weird Lee Dixon thing?
I mean, maybe he lives around that. I don't actually know the reason. Maybe he lives around that.
But isn't
that
he an Arsenal great?
Yes, he is. He very much is. But maybe it was just maybe he lives around there. I mean, London's a pretty big place, so you can't just, if you want to have a season ticket somewhere, it's got to be close to where you live.
Maybe you don't point that out.
Though Brentford is a bit of a rough part of town.
Oh, is it?
I mean, there's a TV show, a comedy called People Just Do Nothing, which is kind of like The Office, but about sort of you young urban people who have a pirate radio station and want to be music stars. It's quite funny, but you know, it's a part. It depicts life in this.
Oh, your wire, Lars. Fix that wire.
Oh my lord. But it's very good. But if you want to know about life in Brentford as maybe like an antidote to the cozy Ted Lasso Richmond experience, that would be a way to go.
All right.
So real quick, I want to get his take on Arsenal, because Arsenal, you said they're going to turn things around. But their next two games, Chelsea and Manchester City. So they could easily start off the season with three straight losses. What happens to Arteta at that point?
I think Arteta has time. I think at the club, the line you often hear is that the club doesn't think that's the biggest problem, basically. That they think there are other things that are wrong, and that they won't look to the coach first. But I agree with you, it doesn't look great. And just watching that game, I know it's only one game, and I know Brentford were surfing a tide of enthusiasm, but Brentford looked to me an awful lot more like what I thought Mikel Arteta's Arsenal would look like by now. You know, the way they pressed high, the way they were so comfortable playing out from the back. You know, I thought we lived in opposite world for a little while. I thought that was kind of how Arsenal would look like by now. And I am a little bit, he's been there long enough now. Even if there have been injuries, even if there have been COVID, you can talk about the strength of the roster, but I'm worried about the lack of a clear identity there. You know, and is there one thing that Arsenal are very good at this point? Is that like, what do they do well? It's a very hard team to analyze, I find, because sometimes they play well, sometimes they don't play well, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to look back on that weird goal they gave up, the second one on the throw-in, and there's going to be a lot of things that we tie to the success or failure of them figuring out how they fixed that particular problem, because there were so many weird things that just collided together in that kind of embarrassing moment.
And that was such an old school Arsenal goal to concede. It's a really funny thing about sports and soccer, and I'm sure it's true in your American sports as well, is that some clubs or franchises, you can change the coach, you can change the players, but there are certain qualities that are just there. And with Arsenal, for years and years and years, there's been a softness there that no matter how many new players they bring in, it doesn't seem to be possible to fix it. And just conceding that goal, just because no one in that area just elbowed people out of the way and cleared the ball. You know, no one does that for Arsenal, and it's very strange.
Well, on the other end of the opening day spectrum is the, I don't even know if it could have gotten any better, to start a season than what my Manchester United had today. They start the game by rolling out Raphael Varane, introducing him to the crowd, officially announcing him. Paul Pogba has 4 assists. Bruno Fernandes wins man of the match by hitting 3 goals, none of which are set pieces or penalty kicks. Mm-hmm. And they introduce Jordan Sancho on the field. What a day, as United beat their long-term rivals Leeds 5-1. What a beautiful day for my Manchester United.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to take anything away from United. They were great on the day. But I feel like this is also about what a gift Leeds are to the division. Because when they're good, they're fantastic. When they're not good, they make other teams look fantastic. So either way, their games are tremendous. Like, just always watch Leeds. If you're a rookie to the Premier League, if the Leeds games are on, it's almost definitely worth your time watching. Because either they're good or they make the opponents look fantastic. I think because of the way they play with the very high press, committing a lot of men up the field, when the opponents are actually able to play through them. And I thought United did very well here. I thought United's defenders, Maguire and Lindelof, did very well in building up the play. Once you get through the first line of press, suddenly there is a lot of space to play into. And Pogba had a great time. Bruno Fernandes had a great time. But it was fun to watch. It was good.
So we know United has the firepower. We knew that coming into this season. But now they beef up the back. Who is going to step aside?
Lindelof. Yeah. I think part of the reason why he played so well today is he knows he's about to lose his job.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's part of it. And I will also, I want to give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer credit, because to me, what I saw is I felt like United was giving Leeds a taste of its own medicine in how well they pressed Leeds in their end of the field. I mean, you didn't hear Patrick Bamford's name more than once the entire first half, and they just couldn't get anything going, which is so critical to Leeds' ability to break teams down, is because they kind of like suck everybody in and then they counter, and United just wouldn't even let them do that. I thought United really shone throughout the game, and there was very little to criticize, maybe Fred here and there, because we all like to pick on Fred, but I thought they were good overall throughout the game.
The pressing comment is interesting, and Lars, I want to get your take. I feel like last year pressing was down league-wide, and part of it, I think, might be the lack of atmosphere and lack of energy from the crowd. United today, Peter said, pressed high, and part of that has to be the energy from the crowd. And is United one of the teams that will really benefit the most from having crowds back at the stadiums?
I think they're one of the teams that will benefit for it, for sure. I think you're right about the crowd thing. I think it was also to do with the fact that they were fewer rest days. So I think the clubs were afraid of just tiring out their players. I think Manchester City, we saw a Pep Guardiola team for really the first time in his coaching career, you know, make a conscious effort to press less than they usually do. We've never seen that before. And I think that's something Guardiola just figured, to get through this season, that's how we have to do it, because they were playing so many games. We forget about this now, but yeah. But one thing I want to say about this game, I love this position for Paul Pogba, starting him out in this sort of strange left-wing role. Well, but just put him slightly, give him a role where he doesn't have to worry about defending, basically. Give him a role where he doesn't have to worry so much about where he's standing when the team doesn't have the
ball. But you know what? Did you see how much pressing he did today? He actually worked at pressing high, and I haven't seen Pogba do that. Now, I haven't really seen him play this role very much either, but there was just a level of effort and energy and kind of like engagement from him we haven't seen at United very often.
Yeah, and I think his problems off the ball are more to do with positioning than effort, I think. Mm-hmm. It's more about how he's often not in the place where you want him to be when he plays deeper in midfield, which is why I want to give him some freedom. But that, of course, raises the issue. If he's going to play out wide, that does mean we're looking at a season of the McTominay and Fred, the McFred midfield, playing pretty much every game.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not what you want.
Unless Varane helps fix that problem. That's another conversation for another day. Now, jumping on the train of successful starts, and we'll get to Chelsea here in the next segment, is Liverpool's win at Carroll Road against Norwich, 3-0. Your Liverbirds, Andy, shone brightly today. That looked pretty good.
Fairly easy match, I think, when you consider the fact that Liverpool's midfield was basically the B midfield. It was all the backups playing midfield, and half the defense was also the backup guys, and Firmino didn't start. So, yeah, the team looked good, and unlike Arsenal, who, you know, and Arteta didn't want to use it as an excuse, but couldn't overcome missing a lot of key guys, Liverpool was missing half their guys and still rolled through this match. So they looked decent today. The question with Liverpool is not going to be how they start. A, they have an easier schedule.
Liverpool has the easiest schedule now, first 10 weeks.
They're going to be okay early on. It's how they're going to be come springtime when it's one more year of this grind.
All right. Now, Lars, real quickly, out of all of our predictions, you had Watford dead last. I had Brentford dead last. You had Watford dead last. Mm-hmm. The team that lost out of the group today was amazingly Norwich. Do we have any hope for Norwich?
I have hope for them, but I do worry that, I mean, they were called, the Luton Town manager called them the Man City of the Championship last year. I mean, that was the kind of dominance they had. You know, they played beautiful football, they created a ton of chances in every game. I just wonder if, and we saw it again against Liverpool, like they can play football, but I'm not sure anyone's going to be afraid of them. I'm not sure there are a lot of teams in this division who look at this Norwich squad and think, oh my God, we don't want to play those. I mean, I'm not sure which players you're particularly afraid of.
Well, I worry I'm that thinking wait till Josh Sargent
a Timu Pukki, yeah, Josh sorry, Sargent sorry. Pairing up front would be deadly.
Josh Sargent, this. I thought Rosicka looked a bit bright and Cantwell, you know, I don't know. I worry that it'll be the same as last time they were up. Like, they played like quite a lot of nice football, but they're too easy to beat at the end of the day.
All right.
One quick thing to add on Liverpool.
Sure.
The concern for me, you're right, Andy, the concern is what happens down the line, and particularly in the new year when the Africa Cup of Nations is happening, where I imagine both Sadio Mane and Salah and also Keita will be unavailable for a while. How does that front line look when those guys aren't there? That is a concern.
Do you? I'll ask both of you guys this question. Do you worry that there's any kind of locker room issues that happen when Jota starts and Firmino doesn't?
No, because Firmino had logged a lot of minutes because of the Copa America. He missed a lot of the preseason. All the guys that missed today, Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago, all those guys logged a lot of minutes and were late to preseason as well.
And the other question, Lars, that you may be able to provide some insight on is the contract situation of Jordan Henderson. They keep talking about this and they keep making, oh, this is going to get done. Is there something else going on there that's keeping it from getting done? Or is there a chance that they don't want him or he doesn't want to resign or they can't come up with some sort of deal?
I think it will get done, but I think they're a club who are probably going to be a little bit careful handing out big contracts to older players, which means that it's a negotiation that might take a bit of time, because there might be a bit of a difference in terms of what he thinks he deserves and rightly feels like he deserves and what the club wants to pay. I mean, with these contracts, you got to remember, you're not paying for what the player has done in the last few years. You're paying for what they're going to do in the next couple of years. And that's why the clubs, and this is something Liverpool are quite savvy about. And so it might be a challenge getting to the number that both sides agree on. But I would be very surprised if you didn't renew.
Well, that's the great Lars Siverston. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will get into previewing tomorrow's very weird Spurs City's game and talk about the other results that happened today in the Premier League. We'll do that next here on the Kick Around. We will do America's favorite soccer segment, The Dribble, here before the end of the show. And if you're a P1 looking for a club in the Premier League or Italy or Germany, we could spin the wheel of allegiance for you today, so you should shoot us a tweet or an email or something.
Or we should just go around the room, because some of us all...
Okay, maybe we'll do that. I try to engage with the P1s, but you guys want to hog it all up.
Because you promised us first.
It's serious, he actually did.
I did promise. All right, live via the miracle of the internet from London, England, is our very good friend that we now can see via the Zoom, is Lars Siverston, who has, by the way, has the most magnificent, it turns out, Viking beard to go along with being a Norwegian. It looks quite good,
Lars.
You're
a real-life Viking.
I've had it since I was a teenager, and I've never shaved it since. And I'm really worried that I might have a weak chin or something, so I don't want to find out.
You don't even know.
No. My partner's never seen me without a beard, and I intend to keep it that way.
She must love the beard.
What's the Lone Star behind you? Is that a no to Texas?
It really is.
Just say
it's
yes.
Some kind of decoration. Well, let's go with yes. Yeah. Let's go with yes. Yes, it is.
All right.
It's in honor of you guys.
Now tomorrow at 8:30, it's Newcastle and West Ham, which is Mike Soroy versus Jeff Catlin. Lars, you don't get that joke. Don't worry about it. But at 10:30, it is probably the most uncomfortable Premier League tie in some time. It's like it's almost like a game between two people with a divorce happening or something going on. Because it's Tottenham versus Man City, and you're a Spurs fan, Lars. What is the latest about Harry Kane, his situation, not just with Spurs, because isn't there like a new offer coming from City for, you know, a kajillion dollars?
Well, the rumor was that they might be offering £150 million for him, which is closer. I don't think it's enough to get the deal done, but it's close. We're getting into the kind of territory where you think, okay, if they're willing to go there, maybe they're willing to go to the sort of 160, 170 range where I actually think they might sell him. And their public stance has been that he's not going to be sold. And they've briefed certain journalists during the summer that they might consider selling him abroad, but they don't want to sell him to anyone in England. I do think... You know, Tottenham is Tottenham. Their chairman, Daniel Levy, is their chairman, Daniel Levy. Everything does have a price. But so far, there's been a pretty big gap between what City are offering and what they want. I do think if we get into the sort of 160, 170 range, they will have to think long and hard about it. Because the guy's 28, and he twists his ankles pretty often.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a lot of money for Tottenham.
It seems like a no-brainer to me.
He's an iconic... But you're talking about selling... one of the best players in the club's history, which is a big thing to say for a club that's been around for a lot of years. But he's certainly the most iconic character of their modern history. So you're selling someone who is more than a player to the club, and the price has to reflect that.
If they end up not selling him, Spurs, and they keep him, does this create discontent for Kane? I mean, is Kane going to be an issue?
I don't know is the answer. A few weeks ago, I said, no, he's a top professional who'll do his job. But then he didn't do his job for a while. He refused to turn up for training. So we're going to have to wait and see. I don't think he, at 28, wants to basically waste the season of his career. And he has records on his mind, and he has more goals he wants to score. And I think he's someone who will just get on with his job. And I also think... What might save it a little bit in terms of the sort of squad harmony is I don't think a lot of players in the squad are begrudging him this big move. I think a lot of players understand why he would want to move. So I think they'll have some sympathy for him, weirdly, if he stays. So I think it'll be all right in that sense. It might take some time, but I do think he will do his job, basically, if he is forced to stay.
All right, we didn't get to ask you this on the preview show on Wednesday, but my comment about City and the addition of Jack Grealish is, who's going to change? Is it going to be Jack Grealish changing his game, or is it Pep Guardiola changing his system for Jack Grealish?
It's a very, very interesting point, and the truth is I don't know. I think, as I mentioned in our last show, Guardiola has this weird thing of, on the one hand, demanding that players do exactly what he says and run where he wants them to, but also several times in his career have wanted to sign this wild card. This
agent,
sort
of agent of chaos.
Chaotic players, that's what you said.
Yeah. I think that's Grealish's job, is to break the pattern a little bit. I kind of think, in a way, he'll want him to change a little bit, but I don't think he wants him to change too much, because you don't sign a guy like Jack Grealish and ask him to suddenly turn into a completely different player. So in my season predictions, I do have them top, but my gut feeling is a little bit iffy on this. I wonder, because it feels like both Grealish and Kane are sort of not particularly like Pep Guardiola type players. I mean, I agree. And I don't think it'll necessarily work straight away. And moving on to what I think is our next subject, I think Chelsea look really good.
Yeah, they really do. By the way, that game's tomorrow, 10:30, Spurs, City. I doubt Kane plays in that game, or he may not even make an appearance. That's all TBD. Well, speaking of teams that had just sterling starts, Chelsea did get their 3-0 win over lowly Crystal Palace. By the way, I think seeing Patrick Vieira with a dad bod makes the rest of us all feel very good about ourselves, right?
Sure does.
I mean, come on. Patrick Vieira with a dad bod. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Well, we're fit, right?
No, I mean, it makes us feel better about our situation. Yes.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we both, Peter and I, picked Chelsea to win this year. Mm.
Yeah, they were our top pick.
Yeah,
I also had Crystal Palace going down this year, and I think they are maybe one of the... I just think there's too much change that has taken place in that team for them to stay up this year.
So, yeah, I worry about them too, but I really want to be wrong because I like what they're trying to do. Roy Hodgson guaranteed sort of a dull and uninspiring safety, and God bless him for that. But in moving on from Roy Hodgson, letting a lot of players leave for free this summer, they've appointed a pretty young and unproven coach in Patrick Vieira, but they've also signed, you know, Michael Olise, a very fun teenager from the Championship. They've signed Guehi, the center half from Chelsea's academy. You know, they're skewing younger, which I think is a gutsy and interesting thing for them to do, but it's also very risky, and it feels like something that could go wrong. I don't want to judge them by this game because Chelsea, I think, are going to do this to a lot of teams this season.
Yeah.
But this was a stomping. You know, they were so much better than them, Chelsea. It was quite something.
And Christian Pulisic looked fantastic today.
He did. Was he kind of playing that position where Lukaku might fit in? It's more central?
Well, it was quite fluid, actually. Yeah. But it was kind of what we saw from Chelsea last season, is that they have a player who starts. I mean, Timo Werner was the one furthest forward, but Pulisic and Mount were playing slightly off him, but moving around a lot and making a lot of forward runs. I think the team looks a little bit different. I think with Lukaku in, I expect him to take that furthest forward role, and then the two players behind him will sort of have license to make forward moves and play off of him.
Yeah, they looked fantastic today, a real smooth, buttery machine. But I have to admit, there was a moment in that game today that just solidified my love of this game, which is Chalaba, the guy that scored the third goal, I think, for Chelsea today.
Yeah.
That is a dude that has been with Chelsea since his parents immigrated from Africa. He signed with the club as an 8-year-old, and he scored on his debut today as a center back with a really beautiful strike. And you could see how much he was 22 years old. He's been there since he's 8, scored on his debut, and you could just tell how much he loved that moment, how much it meant to him.
It was fantastic, and this has always been the sort of bipolar nature of Chelsea since Roman Abramovich came in. They've spent a lot of money on some great players, and they continue to do that. But their academy is really good.
It is good,
partially because they spent a lot of money on that too, and they spend a lot of money attracting the most promising youngsters from the area. But it's always been a problem for them. How do we, you know, if you have an owner who basically demands that you win the league, and if not, the coach is probably getting fired, it's very hard to blood in youngsters and give them chances. But they've got so many good youngsters who should be playing. The solution has often been to just loan them out and eventually sell them to make money. But you would like to see more of them play because there's a lot of good talent in that academy.
Speaking of starting the season strongly, is a club that needed a good start, or at least a manager, which was Everton's 3-1 win over Southampton at Goodison Park today. Rafa Benitez needed a win because he probably couldn't stand to hear his own fans call him the fat Spanish waiter anymore. And they went down, by the way, very early in that game, and you just felt like it was going to get ugly quickly. But Decore, have you seen the Decore goal? Lars?
I haven't seen it yet. I wasn't able to watch everything.
Have you seen it, Andy?
I don't think so.
So he gets a ball at the top of the box, and he makes literally a 360-degree spin and turns like counterclockwise and then hits the ball in the upper 90. It's a fantastic goal.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I think it was their second goal.
His
second goal to make it 2-1. It was really, really quite good. Go ahead, Lars.
Yeah, no, I hope this goes well for Rafa Benitez, because he stepped into a difficult situation there, but he really likes the city. You know, he kept his house there after managing Liverpool for a long time. He's kind of always wanted to move that back there, and I think Everton are a good fit for him. Everton are in a weird position that they've spent a lot of money after the last few years without getting a lot in return for it. I mean, they're one of the clubs who are now really butting up against the Premier League's financial fair play regulations, which is why their transfer window looked like it did. I think signing Damari Gray and Andros Townsend is really not what the Everton fans fans had in mind for this summer. But it's all been about cutting costs, you know, letting a few players go. Bernard, Volkott, these guys. Yannick Bolasie, who incredibly was still there. So some of these guys have left. And financially, things will make a little bit more sense. And what they're trying to do, basically, is to eke out as many points as they can out of this squad, which maybe isn't as good as a squad that's been spent that much money on should be, but it is what it is, and I think Rafa could be a good fit for this team.
All right, so Everton wins 3-1. Now, the shock result of the day, Lars and Andy, was Watford's win over Aston Villa 3-2. That is crazy because I think I know I've been guilty of talking about how smart I thought Villa has been doing business with all their Jack Grealish money. But to go to Watford today and lose 3-2 is not the start that Villa was hoping for.
No, I agree with you. I think they have spent the money smartly, but it might take some time for this group to gel. You know, they've all kind of been thrown together very suddenly. And perhaps we've underestimated Watford. I mean, I had them dead last, but they were... What we saw in this game, I mean, Ismaili Assar, I had half an eye on this one, and Ismaili Assar was very good. The Senegalese winger that they have was very, very, very good. And the striker, Emmanuel Dennis from Nigeria, who hasn't, something weird stat, like he scored no goals in his last two seasons. Well, he scored no goals last season anyway, but he's got one in his debut, and he's also fast. I mean, they've got speed up top, which can always cause opponents trouble, even if there's a bit of a lack of quality in the side.
All right. And then to finish out the day, Jamie Vardy is still bagging goals for the Foxes as Leicester City got their 1-0 win over Wolves, a team I'm a little bit concerned about, Lars. I'm a little worried about Wolves, a club that we both love here in Dallas. And Burnley lost at home. Sorry, Josh. Even though they went up in the second minute, Graham Potter's team gets two late in the game for a road win as Brighton beats Burnley in the game that very few people probably actually watched in a 2-1 win.
All right.
I'm glad you watched, Josh. That's good. I'm glad
you
watched your
own team. Well,
that was
justice anyway, because the goal Burnley scored was an obvious foul. I mean, it was so... Tarkowski just pushed a guy, Neil Mope, actually, who was marking him on the corner. Tarkowski just pushed him over, like clearly pushed him over and went and headed the ball in. And VAR went, oh, I guess that's fine.
Well, Neil Mope is kind of a jerk, so he probably deserved to get pushed over, so...
Yeah, well, he's pushed over a lot of defenders in his life, so maybe this was a bit of football karma at work.
All right, well, we've lost our Zoom feed. That's okay. We'll deal with that some other time. It's okay, because it's the end of the segment anyway. Lars, man, Andy, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, thanks, Lars. It was fun having you on again, and we shall revisit these predictions at the end of the year so that we can stack up how we did against each other.
Oh, dear. I'm already regretting putting Watford last. I know it's an overreaction to a win on their opening day, but that might have been a mistake on my part.
Man, Lars Sivertsen, follow him on Twitter. We'll put the link up there. Man, we love having you on the Kick Around. Thanks for coming on again today, man.
This is great fun to be on with you guys. Have a lovely weekend.
All right, you too. We'll talk to you soon. When we come back, look who's turned their season around a little bit. We'll do a little Huntsman talk next here on the Kick Around. We have a new website for the show, thekickaround.com, and probably the most popular feature is the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance at the bottom, and some P1s have been spinning it and getting their club at It's Just Chris. He spun it, and he got Newcastle and asked how that was going to go for him, and Sir Roy wrote back, oh, it's a total dream. Actually, it's a real pleasure cruise is what he called it. And Parisian Texan got, I think, Aston Villa.
Persian Texan,
oh,
sir.
Persian Texan. Sorry. Shout out to you, sir or ma'am, whichever one you are. So we'll do some more of that here in just a little bit. All right. Thanks again to Lars for coming on and talking Premier League with us. It's always great to have him on the show. To totally shift gears, though. Mm. In the time since you and I took our poorly advised hiatus for a couple of weeks, one of the things that blew up in our face, because it was just something we didn't want to spend any time talking about because it had gotten so depressing, was the amazing turnaround of our little football club from Frisco, FC Dallas. The Huntsmen, right now, are on a 4-game unbeaten streak. It's quite amazing, which includes a road win.
Yeah, the first one. And, yeah, when we last spoke... before they went on this run, they were 1 point off the record worst record in their history, in the team's
history. Worst season, which is the 2003
year. And they've 2 points now from the playoff spot. And so is it a coincidence or not? And probably not. I mean, it's a facetious question. But ever since Ferreira and Paxton and Pepe have started playing together, and then you throw in Schoen, the kid from Hungary, right?
Yep, Hungary.
Those guys have looked really good playing together as the front four.
We were making the comment on Buzz of ThirdDegree.net, his podcast this week, about how the result that they got over this this last result they got was against the team that was missing all of their DPs. They didn't. Austin didn't play. Mm-hmm. Austin FC came to town, and they didn't start any of their DPs. They're mm-hmm. big name players, and it just only seemed fair to point out, well,
none of them are.
Dallas isn't playing their DPs either, right? In fact, their best 11 are these kids. I mean, their front four is made up of teenagers and one guy that's 22.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, and it's been a really nice way to see the team kind of recapture a good. A set of kind of momentum moving forward is the fact that it's what I think a lot of people who want to support this team mm-hmm. buy into, which is, man, play these kids that you've been growing or these kids that you find from other countries and bring here, and let's see what they got. And that's been the good part. Ricardo Pepi has been for some people it's been a revelation. For some people it's been not a surprise at all.
Right. If you talk to people on the inside, people with the club, and you know, 2-3 years now before this year, when the kid was 14, 15, they were saying, no, he's gonna be really good. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, one day when he's 20.
Yeah.
They're like, no, like next year or the season after. And here we are.
Yeah.
All-star game now for the kid.
There's two really other interesting stories that have been taking place over this stretch. One is the holding mid that they've signed.
Quiñon,
who has turned out to be he's not flashy, and I'm not even sure he excels at any one particular thing. He's just a solid holding mid.
Yeah, he's an Argentine holding mid.
Right.
That's how they are.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a flashy tackler. He's not a, you know, he's not a I don't know. He just does he just is solid, and he's played the position very well. But maybe the best story of the season is the story of Nkosi Tafari, who is a kid that they drafted. He's originally from New York. He went to college up in Seattle. And he's been sitting around not doing much for this team, and he's been kind of quietly waiting for his time. But when injuries happen and he got his opportunity, he's now gotten 5 or 6 straight starts. And I don't know in the history in this club I've ever seen a kid progress as quickly as Tafari has. And Buzz even pointed out the other day, much to everybody's chagrin, if there are scouts globally going, I wonder what else Dallas has that we can buy? Tafari is one I think people are instantly going to go because he's tall, he's fast. He's had 2 assists as a center back in the last 2 games. He leads the league in clearances.
He's 24, right?
Yeah, he's a college kid. He doesn't come from the academy. He was drafted out of college.
And in the first game he played, he was actually a little iffy, remember? And we were like, oh, no, it's going to be a
his passing season. Was really the issue.
And he really turned it around. And the thing is, that has been key. It's important that you mention that because we talk about how the young kids up front have been a big part of this turnaround. But Hedges meant so much to this team, and the stability and the back line was so important, and Hedges was such an important part of that when he went down, you're like, man, how is a team?
Well, him and Martinez.
Yeah. How are things going to get any better until Hedges gets back? So
he's been good. Brisson, the other guy that's been filling in, is a veteran and makes a lot of boneheaded mistakes. And in fact, he got another yellow card in
really
the last game. Well, he's boneheaded. I mean, look, it is what it is. And now he's suspended. So Hedges, thankfully, is healthy. We'll get to see Tafari and Hedges together for the first time in an extended run tonight. They are at home tonight against Kansas City. Now, here's the reason why this is interesting. You know, in this spell, they got their first home win up in Kansas City against Peter Vermes's team. Their first away win, thank you, up in Kansas City, which probably hurt the feelings of Peter Vermes and guys. Mm-hmm. Here's what Vermes did, and I think this is telling. Vermes had a Leagues Cup game in the midweek against one of the Mexican clubs. I can't remember which one it was. He essentially started a B team, and they got smoked. I think it was 5-6-1 and knocked out of that tournament. And it's very clear that he did that. Was it Lyon? He did that because he wanted to make sure he had his best fresh 11 for their trip tonight down to Frisco from Kansas City. Because if Dallas can get a result at home against what I suspect will be a very fired up Peter Vermes Kansas City, Sporting Kansas City, I think that will speak real volumes as to just how much this streak is actual improvement and not just, you know, byproduct of playing teams maybe not in their best form or not starting their best 11.
We should say that in this streak, they did beat and get results against significant teams.
Yes.
Kansas City, who is now at the top of the conference, Seattle.
Yes, but I think we've had this we've had the conversation that all of those games, the 4-0 win against L.A., the Seattle game, the Kansas City game, even the Austin game.
There are asterisks.
There are little asterisks that come with each of those, and I don't think there will be any asterisks tonight other than the fact that, you know, it's, you know, one team's having to travel and MLS teams notoriously are bad on the road, at least in terms of overall records. Yeah.
So now Dallas, 5 points from the last spot in the conference where Austin sits in 13th, but more importantly, only two from the playoff spot, which is such a far cry from where we were a month ago. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Again, we were, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago on Buzz's podcast, we were going through the remaining schedule, and it was so bad. I think kind of the average amount of total points we thought this team would likely get through the end of the season was like 4 or 5 points. And they've just completely blown all of that away. And, you know, hey, I got to give a lot of credit to Frank O'Hara, the guy that's making a lot of money, who's sitting on the bench. He's been a good sport about it. He hasn't bitched or whined about it at all. And in fact, if what we find out is that he's been a good mentor to Ricardo Pepi and kind of helps him get better at the things that Frank O'Hara is good at that Pepe's not, then maybe that's a good investment of the $2 million, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, if that's the end result, yes, correct. Now, Pepe is another one that we now have to start keeping an eye on, right, for potential sale. That's the unfortunate.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of noise about that. I think the other thing that people are really concerned about is, you know, he's got dual citizenship. He can play either for Mexico or the United States, and he's been done a very good job of riding that line of not revealing his hand as to which side. In fact, I don't even think he really knows, you know, if he'll play for Mexico or for the United States. I think when the time comes for him to make that decision will be a byproduct of where he thinks he has his best path to getting games quickly.
Yeah, right.
And the time maybe, I don't know, you know, with some of the people lining up to play striker for the U.S., I don't know.
I mean, striker is
thinner here than probably Mexico.
Yeah, I think the U.S. national team has a good chance to get better.
All right, 7:30 tonight up in Frisco. Hopefully the rain holds off as Peter Vermes, the Herman Munster lookalike, comes to town and they try to get revenge against Lucci and his dudes. 7:30 tonight up at Toyota Stadium. All right, when we come back, it is America's favorite soccer segment plus the Wheel of Allegiance here on the Kick Around. By the way, I think Junior Miller, new father, is due to come back Monday.
He decided to come back.
Andy, Junior is essentially similar in age to you and I, and was formerly part of our no kid club, and now he's left our club. Mm-hmm. When you heard Junior Miller was having a baby at our age, what was your reaction?
Oh, my back.
Ow, my back?
Yeah. Just imagine playing with a toddler for me and my bad back.
Oh,
it's hard enough.
That's
to
not where
play
I went.
Soccer.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Okay, where did you go, Sam?
Just, you know, maybe pre-birth, the creation of child. Maybe
you went. You thought about Junior Miller having sex?
Ow.
No, not that the gross. Not the literal definition of that. Just the concept of it.
What did you think, Peter?
I thought about being my age and having to spend the next 20 years, you know, growing a human being would be a difficult challenge. And in some ways, there was a little twinge of jealousy too, because I think that'll be really cool for him, man.
Not too late.
Oh, it is too late, sir. It's
options out there,
way too late. All right, now we've mentioned multiple times that we have a new website, thekickaround.com. On it are representations of the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. And I've told Andy, yes, since he does not have a Serie A Italian top-flight club to follow, right, that we would spin it. Now, Josh, do we have all the appropriate sound effects and drops and at least the opener ready to go, sir? All right.
Now, do I spin it?
No, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. I'll take it. Well, that's the website version. I have access to the official version here. Now, do we need to go through the pledge?
No, I know the pledge. The pledge is that this is the team I will root for till the end of time.
Right, and you'll buy a jersey and you'll never and you'll watch the games on Paramount Plus and all of that stuff. All right, it's time now to spin the
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
And we're spinning, spinning, around and around it goes. Where it stops, nobody. Andy!
Are we brothers?
We're brothers! You're Fiorentina! Yeah, Viola power, brother.
I already have a Fiorentina top, thanks to you.
Excellence. Look at you.
I don't even have to go out and buy a uniform.
You know what this means? It means Andy and Peter are going on a trip to Florence.
Nice. Porchetta.
Now, I picked Fiorentina as my club because my wife and I on our trip to Italy went to a game there, and it was fantastic. And now Andy can come along. Andy and your wife, Heather, can come too. We can go on a double date.
Why don't just my wife and I go first and scout things out, then maybe...
Okay, I see how this is now. So rude. Your brothers...
That's such a letdown.
Your brother now wants to go without you, Peter.
Total
letdown. We're going to Austin. Is that
letdown.
Not good enough?
Huh?
We'll talk Fiorentina on the way to Austin.
We could do that. Now, do we need to spin the
deep
wheel?
Deep into Fiorentina history.
Are you, was it you or Josh that wanted one of these?
I definitely want to go for it, so let's see what happens.
All right. It's time now to spin the...
Pressing the button.
On the tick. Is it locked up?
It's the monitor.
I think that's a sign that you're not supposed to spin the wheel now, Sam.
No, I think it's just...
Oh, there it is.
Money into our station.
Let's see. Now, is the wheel up? Can we hear the wheel? Yeah, let's make sure we can hear the wheel when it spins. No, it's not. Okay, there we go. The wheel is spinning. Trust me. Round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows.
Big money, big money, big money.
Man, I gotta say, the wheel knows what it's doing.
Oh, no.
I couldn't imagine a more appropriate a more appropriate Italian club for my friend Sam Hale. Sam, your Serie A club for the rest of your life is Bologna.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. I know what you're doing, and I don't appreciate it, but
it's
I'll take that.
No,
I believe you, but I know what you're doing, and I don't appreciate it, but I will take that.
Sam... The great famous sauce of all sauces.
Yeah.
Bolognese.
Yeah, I can
right?
Again,
come on.
I'm not sure I appreciate this, but I
no,
can live with this.
What
I can
do you
live
mean?
With it.
This is wear this with pride.
Yes.
Yes, I'm
like
no,
your
I'm,
Everton jersey.
The wheel has spoken. I will obey the wheel as per always.
Just for that, that might be one of the first recipes on the website.
There we go. Yeah,
Andy's Bolognese.
Andy's cookout corner.
That's right.
FC Bologna for Sam Hale.
We are going to post recipes on
next week, Sam. I expect a full book report on the history of Bologna.
I'm looking it up right now so I can get some merch.
All right. So if you want to do this for yourself, we have club picking wheels for the Premier League, for the Bundesliga and Serie A at the bottom of thekickaround.com. Good fun. All right, let's do America's.
Huh? I don't get to go.
Oh, I didn't know. Do you want a Bundesliga club or would you like a Serie A club?
I'll take both, but it seems like we're doing
one
Serie A
Bundesliga
right
next
now.
Week.
Okay, yeah. So here we go. Is everything all turned up and everything ready to go? It's time now to spin the
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
And we still can't hear this. Oh, there's the wheel. Where she stops, nobody goes. Now, this is a good one, Josh. This is a cool one. You got Sassuolo.
What?
Oh, that's awesome.
That's like the Burnley of Serie A.
No, it's not. They're a cool little club.
Yeah, they're really neat. This is a win.
Kind of
Josh.
Progressive, and yeah, I think
what
you'll
does
like.
That mean? How do we spell that?
Sassuolo. Sassuolo.
Are they affected by the green ban that they're doing?
That may be the club that got... Well, so apparently it turned out that the green is only for away kits.
Oh, okay. Well, I think their home kits are green.
Maybe that's okay.
We might have to look into that. There might be controversy around Josh's pick.
Yeah, I have a feeling that whole green thing happened when somebody at the league level, home team... got a bad result against an away team wearing an away green kit, and they decided
that
to screw them.
Sounds very Italian soccer.
Yeah, that sounds very Italian soccer. You happy, Josh?
I'm a fan of the green and black color combination.
Yep.
So I'm good with that.
Okay. But you cannot
based
align.
On that, I'm good with that.
Now that I've heard you say that, you have to disavow Austin FC.
Hmm. Do they wear green and black?
Yeah.
I disavow.
I'm sorry. They call it verde and black, but that's because they're afraid to say the word negro.
Why would they be afraid of that?
For all the, I don't know, because they're Austin, right?
True.
It is now time for America's favorite soccer segment known as The Dribble. I'm offering my public apology to our little buddy, Tyler Kern, who we promoted we'd be talking Bundesliga. Rude. But we got so focused on Premier League today, we didn't get to him. I'm sorry. He's like our little Matt Damon. We didn't have time to get to Tyler.
Did you finesse the apology and make all good so he doesn't leave us?
Yeah, okay. Patted him on the head, rubbed okay. tussled his hair.
All right.
I think the big news today was Borussia Dortmund's 5-2 win over Eintracht Frankfurt, which featured a goal from Giovanni Reyna.
Yeah, and big boy Haaland.
So Erling Haaland, the big Norwegian mighty man, not only had two goals today, he had three assists. Just let this soak in for a second. Since he joined Dortmund, kid, I think is 20. Is he 21?
Yeah.
He is more than 60 goals and assists since he joined that club not too long ago.
I have a question for you about him.
I have an answer for you about him.
Which team will he win the Premier League title with in 2023?
And that's a good
City
question.
Or United?
You know what? I have a feeling he ends up at Madrid.
Okay.
I don't think he goes to a Premier League club. I think he goes to Madrid.
All right.
I think somehow, some way, Real Madrid are saving up their pennies. They've got a massive ceramic piggy bank that they're trying to push all their money into. So Dortmund did win 5-2 in the Bundesliga today. So check all that stuff out. All right. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about.
Do we got League One scores here?
No.
PSG.
Oh, PSG. What was that score?
It was 4-2.
They actually won, huh?
4-2. Messi didn't play, like we spoke about. But you know that there are some rumors coming out of Paris that Mbappe, as was feared, is having issues with Messi coming to the team.
Why would he be? I would think he'd be excited about this.
And that he, you know, second fiddle and all this. And they seem to think that he'll end up at Real Madrid next year.
Neymar was already on the team. He was second fiddle to Neymar.
No, he was, or even fiddle, but nobody's even fiddle to Messi.
Okay.
It's a little different.
I could understand.
That opens up the door for Ronaldo to come to PSG next year. Imagine Messi and Ronaldo on the same team.
At a combined age of over 70.
And they probably go out and win Euro. Yeah, champion.
Yeah, I saw the video of when Messi walked out and the Parisian audience just going absolutely mad bonkers.
Yeah.
It's been a weird week.
Yeah.
Somebody help me out here. I don't know who it is that's going to help me do this, but Sam shared the story today. This is such a dribble story. The famous MMA fighter, Khabib...
Damn it.
Dettamore, this would be a good time for you. You're the guy that knows how to pronounce stuff like this. The Khabib Does anybody know how to...
1 second.
No. Don't worry about it. Anyway, he's the guy that wears... He's the Eastern European kind of Russian... I forgot the
Dagestan.
Dagestani guy that wears the big hat when he walks in the ring. And I think he's retired.
Yeah, he quit after his last title defense.
He has...
Nurmagomedov.
Thank you very much, Jacob. I appreciate that. He has signed with a Russian team to play soccer.
Third division. Does that even count?
Don't reduce it. Well, third division, it's better than playing in, you know, at
it's
Moss Park.
Better than you've ever
done, Andy. Huh?
It's better than you've ever played. Have you ever played higher than the Russian third division?
That's a shot,
no, thanks.
Sir.
Okay, well, thanks, That's Sam. Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. I'll just go back in my corner.
Now, I'm going to end the show on a curious note, and I don't want anybody to take this wrong, and I fear that this is going to paint me as somewhat of a dirty old man. But I do have to ask the question, because I do think this is unique in professional sports. At the end of the Olympics, remember, the bronze medal game was between the U.S. and Australia, which U.S. won to win the bronze medal. Now, in that game was the sister of Sam Mewis, who's well-known, the Tower of Power. Her sister is Kim Mewis, who plays for the Houston Dash in the the NWSL. At the end of the game, Kim was seen sitting on the pitch, consoling the Australian star striker, Sam Kerr. It has been revealed this week that Kim and Sam are in a relationship.
Well, they're an item.
More than an item. They've been posting pictures on social media, maybe a little kissing, a little embracing.
And but they played against each other.
So I'm going to ask the question. Can you think of another professional sport or high-level sport where two people have competed against each other that are also in a romantic relationship? And is this something that is going to now be introduced as cultural appetites and the openness and acceptingness and progressiveness of our culture changes?
This is all very heavy to try to answer in about
I just like to leave the
seconds.
P1 with something to think about.
Good observation.
And it's not two hot soccer chicks making out. It's just the larger question at hand.
I'm trying to think if just in a, well, we've had it in the same sport. We've had it.
Where?
Basketball.
Who?
Not playing against each other, but...
Well, I think it's... See, this is important to me, and I do think there's a really serious question, which is, if you're in a serious relationship with somebody, and you're now playing against each other, does that impact your attitude about playing in that game? Are you going to get stuck in? No pun intended. Just something for you to think about as we finish another fun-filled edition of... The dribble.
This is quite the dribble. You took this in, just the very philosophical direction.
I'm a thinker, Andy.
This is kind of like something, you know, to sit down over a glass of scotch and discuss. I don't know if we can do it, you know, as we're about to end the show.
Probably
it has nothing to do with the Instagram photo of the two of them kissing. It's really the larger question about the competitive nature of the sport. And is it endangered when personal feelings get in the way? I really want to get to the bottom of this.
What about if it's dad son playing? I mean, we've had that in pro sports.
Or brothers, family members.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I just wonder, is it different when you're in love?
Oh, you're saying brothers don't love each other?
Not in the same way that Sam Mewis and
but it's still love.
Kim, Sam
it's
and...
still love.
And is it also weird that she's dating a girl named the same way as her sister? That's weird, too.
You've thought way too much about this.
Yeah.
Again, Sam, I'm a thinker.
I'm not denying it.
Man, this has been... Hey, Andy, everybody, congratulations as we begin Season 8 of The Kick Around here on The Ticket. Good for us. High five, everybody. Jacob, thank you for doing Tickers today. Sam, great work producing. Josh, even you today were pretty damn kick-ass. P1s, we love and adore you. Talk to you next week. Go on, go out there, get stuck in, and win your 50s.
England and Germany and Spain. You got Grenada, Ghana, Guinea, Norway, Turkey, Finland, Iceland, Nigeria, Ecuador.
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM Flower Mound.